Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and we are welcome, and let me welcome you once again to the home of Guiding Light audio fanfic. And hopefully, since this is reading an audio fanfic, I stop making mistakes like that pretty soon. But anyway, we are joining once again the second episode of Bauer Barbecue 2018. This is a fanfic written by Robin Sue Farm, and you can find the actual chapter section that I'm reading today on the GL Manny blog, which is at GL Manny, which is GLMANNY.wordpress.com. And that is my blog about Danny and Michelle Santos, and how it's where my fanfic lives, plus a lot of other Guiding Light stuff that I have gathered up, and hopefully I will be adding some of the other stuff. It kind of just sort of depends how my time goes. But today we are going digging into some of the most exciting parts of this episode two, or at least the most important one. And we're going to have scenes with Alan, Michael, and Danny. Who really, I think Danny saw him once, really, when the show was on. Kat and her father-in-law, who is the character played by James Earl Jones. This is not a character I made up. He was actually on the show in the 1960s. I just made up the Kat connection. And then a scene with Blake and Holly. So I think that should be an interesting episode. We're going to continue having these shorts and trying to get this ready to go during Bauer Barbecue Week, which will probably be the week after the 4th of July rather than the week leading up to it, but that kind of depends on what I get done also. So with that, Bauer Barbecue 2018, Episode 2, Part 4, Scene 20. Alan Michael came into the garage where Danny and Michelle were still kissing. Oh, sorry, you guys. Danny and Michelle broke apart. Have you seen Molly anywhere? Michelle answered, she was here a little while ago. I'll go help you look. Avoiding looking at Alan Michael, Michelle headed on out the door. Alan Michael turned to follow her, but Danny stopped him. Alan Michael, can we talk for a minute? I'll feel better after I find Molly. We saw Molly like 5 minutes ago, and she was fine. Please, Danny gestured toward a stool. Alan Michael lifted up his hands and walked over and sat down. What is it? I wanted to do about Hope, your mother, I mean, not my daughter. Alan Michael briefly chuckled. Well, what about her? I've been thinking about her and my mother. Alan Michael flared to his feet. Carmen, you're comparing my mother to Carmen? Danny held his hand Danny held up his hand consolingly. When I met Michelle, I thought I knew my mother. I thought I understood how she thought, why she did things. I would have bet anything I understood her. In fact, in a way, I did bet Michelle's life. Danny shook his head in bemusement. Was I ever wrong? And that why I was thinking about your mother. I don't follow. Wonder how Michelle and I got Spalding stock. What's that got to do with? I just assumed Phillips gave you a particularly generous signing bonus. No, I didn't get it from Phillips. You got it from Alan. You missed the formal reading of the will. Alan left me and Michelle the stock and a letter. You can read it if you want. He confirmed something Phyllis had told me. Alan saw Michelle and me as having his and Hope's second chance. He wrote in the letter how much he loved Hope. I believe him. He said with her, he was the man he'd always wanted to be. He said that it was the happiest he'd ever been in his entire life. And he destroyed it. and wanted me in his business because I'd been able to do what he hadn't, to break the patterns I'd been programmed with, to step up and be the man Michelle needed me to be, that I needed me to be. He hadn't been able to do that. When they, Ellen and Hope, broke up for good, I'm sorry, I just lost my place for a second. Broke up for good. He let her go because he saw how he practically destroyed her. And he realized that if he saw her again, he'd try to get her back because he couldn't not do that. And she couldn't resist coming, and then he'd hurt her again and again. The only thing that he could do to make up for the fact, strong enough to be who she needed him to be, was to be strong enough to let her go and not hurt her again and again and again. That much he could do. So he did. I imagine he said something similar to your mother in the letter he left her. I don't think your mother is in as bad a place as you think. I don't think she's living with the delusion about your father. I think she's living with his ghost. Ellen Michael snorted, a ghost, like in Casper the Friendly. No, not a physical ghost. But she must have spent her life thinking that the man she loved was an illusion. To find out that she'd been right, that he'd been there all along, that he'd treasured her just as much, and that he'd stayed away to spare her because he was too weak to be what she needed. I think it must have made her see everything differently. I don't think that she's delusional about your father. It's that in her mind, she's living with the part of the man he was that she loved. I know you're worried about her, and it may not be the healthiest thing, but now I'm older. If I did lose Michelle, I can't say I wouldn't be in exactly the same place, thinking of her all the time, talking to her as if she was there when no one else was. You'd probably be in the same shape if you lost Lucy. I know you've been acting like you think your mother is crazy, and it's probably good to have her here around family again. And we'll do our best to give her other interests around here. But I don't think your mother is crazy. I think you've been as wrong about your mother as I was about mine. I think your mother is acting like she is because after a long time, she realized she was sane all along. Just think about it, okay? Danny slapped Alan Michael on the shoulder and left him sitting there pondering. Scene 21. Kat was sitting on the lounge chair by the pool watching the festivities, her boys playing and talking about other kids when Jim came up and sat down beside her. While they were talking, you can see Blake catching up with Jason in the background, talking with him a little bit, and then he threw up his hands and walked away with Blake looking worriedly after him. This is all in pantomime and is only at the beginning of the scene. Focus tightens on Kat and Jim after they finish, but the interplay was always in the background with no sound or long focus shots on them. Well, Kat, I'm certainly glad you invited me to come here for the 4th of July. Yes, sir, it's been great to see all the old haunts and see Ed again. A lot of the faces I knew were gone, but it's brought back a lot of memories being here. It's been great to be here with the boys, too. I'm glad, Jim. I can't help but notice that Paul isn't here. No, he isn't. Kat looked away in the middle distance. Still far enough, you and Paul, you're magic together. And what are you fighting about, really? Kat turned back to Jim, getting upset. Respect. If Paul had gotten a dream job offered, no one would have thought anything about him just assuming I'd come along. So when I've got the dream job, why can't he come here? Jim interrupted, but you had a perfectly good job. It's not just a job. It's a place to make a real difference, to make sure people have a voice, not just in Springfield. But WSPR covers at least a third of the state. This means a lot to a lot of people. Paul needs to understand that. He can get a job here. Look around, Kat gestured. Here's the management of every business in town. I could get him a job somewhere, a good job, why is it asking too much for him to move here? Springfield is a great place to live. Man's got his pride, Kat. Maybe he doesn't want a job you got for him. And I don't have pride, so I'd be expected to take the job he found for me if the situation was reversed. Paul is wrong, Jim, and he has to realize it. Scene 22. Blake was still agitated and pacing around. Holly came up behind her. What do you think you're doing? What's going on with Frank? What do you mean, Mom? I mean, I've been watching you and Frank all day. You've done nothing but snipe at him all day long. Oh, Mom, I know Frank and I have been good for each other. We've been stable. Stable doesn't mean bad. No, no, it isn't bad. Stability has been good for me and Frank. The boys, Clarissa and Frankie. But more and more, it just feels like we're marking time. We're still just friends with benefits. We're not like Frankie's mother. I'm Auntie Blake. I don't want Frank to father my kids. We've talked about it sometimes. But we're not married for a reason, Mom. Holly exhaled. Don't, Mom. Don't start. I know what love is. Frank knows what love is. This isn't it. And I'm tired of playing house, of pretending what this is. Holly took a sip of her drink. It doesn't seem like Frank is having a problem with it. Oh, that's what Frank does. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He's funny. He never gives up. He just keeps pushing and pushing, and he sure will get there, even after there's no hope for it. Look at how long it took him to figure out Natalia was pregnant. I mean, how obvious was that? But did he get it? Did he get how perfect Natalia and Olivia were for each other? No. He just kept pushing and pushing. He's never going to admit things aren't perfect between us. He'll just keep slogging along. Don't worry, Mom. I'm not going to do anything sudden. Things aren't right with Frank. Not enough. Blake walked away, and Holly watched after her, worried. And that is the end of this chapter of the fanfic. But since I stumbled a couple times, I'm going to go back and reread the first scene of today's episode because it's an important one and I want it good. So if you thought that I did okay the first time, thank you for listening to the GL Manny and our fanfic, and I hopefully will see you here again real soon. If you think I can do better, here is once again scene 20. Al and Michael came into the garage where Danny and Michelle were still kissing. Oh, Danny and Michelle broke apart. Have you seen Molly anywhere? Michelle answered, she was here a little while ago. I'll go help you look. Avoiding looking at Al and Michael, Michelle headed on out the door. Al and Michael turned to follow her, but Danny stopped him. Al and Michael, can we talk for a minute? I'll feel better after I find Molly. We saw Molly 5 minutes ago and she was fine. Please. Danny gestured towards the stool. Al and Michael lifted up his hands and walked over and sat down. What is it? I wanted to talk to you about Hope, your mother, not my daughter. Al and Michael briefly chuckled. Well, what about her? I've been thinking about her and my mother. Al and Michael flared to his feet. Carmen, you're comparing my mother to Carmen? Danny held up his hand consolingly. When I met Michelle, I thought I knew my mother. I thought I understood how she thought, why she did things. I would have bet anything I understood her. In fact, in a way, I did bet Michelle's life on that very thing. Danny shook his head in amusement. Was I ever wrong? And that's why I was thinking about your mother. I don't follow. Did you ever wonder how Michelle and I got Spalding stock? What's that got to do with it? Assumed Philip gave you a particularly generous signing bonus. No, I didn't get it from Philip. We got it from Alan. You missed the formal reading of the will. Alan left me and Michelle the stock and a letter. You can read the letter if you want. He confirmed something Philip had told me. Alan saw Michelle and me as having his and Hope's second chance. He wrote how much he loved Hope. I believed him. He said with her, he was the man he'd always wanted to be. He said that was the happiest he'd ever been in his life, and he destroyed it. He said he respected me and wanted me in his business because I'd been able to do what he hadn't, to break the patterns I'd been programmed with, to step up and be the man Michelle needed me to be, that I needed me to be. He hadn't been able to do that. When they finally broke up for good, he let her go because he saw how he'd practically destroyed her, and he realized that if he saw her again, he'd try to get her back because he couldn't not do that, couldn't resist coming, and then he'd hurt her again and again. The only thing he could do to make up for the fact that he wasn't strong enough to be who she needed him to be was to be strong enough to let her go and not hurt her again and again and again. That much he could do, so he did. I imagine he said something similar to your mother in the letter he left her. I don't think your mother's in as bad a place as you think. I don't think she's living with a delusion about your father. I think she's living with his ghost. Ellen Michael snorted, a ghost, like Casper the Friendly. No, not a physical ghost, but she must have spent her life thinking that the man she loved was an illusion. A mistake. To find out that she'd been right, that he'd been there all along, that he treasured her just as much, and that he'd stayed away to spare her because he was too weak to be what she needed, I think it must have made her see everything differently. It isn't that she's delusional about your father. It's that in her mind, she's living with the part of the man he was that she loved. I know you're worried about her, and it may not be the healthiest thing. If I'm older, if I did lose Michelle, I can't say I wouldn't be in exactly the same place, thinking of her all the time, talking to her as if she was there when no one else was. You'd probably be the same if you lost Lucy. I know you've been acting like you think your mother's crazy, and it is probably good to have her here with family again, and we'll do our best to give her other interests. But I don't think your mother is crazy. I think you've been wrong about your mother, as I was about mine. I think your mother is acting like she is because after a long time, she realized she was sane all along. Just think about it, okay? Danny slapped Alan Michael on the shoulder and left him sitting there pondering. And that is the end of episode. And we are, wow, over time. So thank you for listening today. And be sure to catch up on our next episode and our next part of the story.